7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 32 of Color of Magic, the podcast where we try to raise the profile and get people out there that don't get seen as often. Or heard, I guess, in this case. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and my co-host, who's been here for 32 episodes and still running, Brian Allen. How's it going, dude?
Number 32, the Magic Johnson episode. I'm excited.
It is. You know, Magic Johnson is the whole reason I'm a Lakers fan.
I think that's the case for a lot of people.
I remember watching when I was a kid and thinking, like, watching him play a game, and I realized, like, even without scoring, this dude controlled the whole game.
For real.
And that was the most amazing thing to me. And I think I was like 11, and I was just like, this is crazy.
And when have you ever seen anybody who could literally, he could play any position on the court because of his height?
Yeah, it was amazing. But yeah, that's
run their point guard out there as center. Nobody else.
True. Yeah, I was spoiled because I grew up watching him, and then I got Shaq and Kobe, and then I just had Kobe. So
yep.
My sports life has been pretty good as a basketball fan.
I hear you.
But yeah, so how's the update going on down there with y'all opening up businesses and stuff? Because we're just now getting to that point here.
Apparently Dallas had they tied the record for the most corona cases the other day, but we supposedly are still trending in the proper direction as he sneezes.
Well, that's a thing. Now, I will tell you an interesting thing here, not to get too much off the gaming subject here, but I saw one of the things they wrote up for us locally is that as people start going to restaurants and stuff, you know, they obviously have to be socially distanced and all that. But you're going to have to sign a sheet with your name and contact info, likely a phone number, for, I guess, if there's a breakout or whatever, they could trace back to where it potentially came from.
Yeah.
Which some people obviously are already upset. Like, why do I have to give them my information if I'm going to the restaurant and blah, blah, blah. Like, which one? Most of you are probably going to play with a credit card or something anyway. So if they really wanted it, they could get it. You're just saving them time. So in the event there is a breakout there, one, they know how it started. And two, they can contact everybody.
You want them to be able to contact you.
Yeah, especially if you're there with like your family or something. They can be like, hey, look, we had this breakout at this restaurant you were at last Tuesday. You know, you might want to go to this testing center, get looked at. Like, I don't have a problem with it. Because like I said, most of the time I'm paying with a debit card or credit card or something anyway. So you could always contact the companies or whatever. And if you really wanted the information, you could probably get it.
Yeah. America, they've already got your information. Just FYI.
Yeah. I will say, though, gaming-wise, everything's been, coming up Millhouse for me this week.
It's been
pretty good. I've been working on some different lists. I saw that I've been pushing Gruul really hard the last couple weeks. Coincidentally, Gruul managed to win a couple of the big online tournaments over the weekend. And then I had a couple of people messaging me, actually, that had been following my stream and stuff, been like, hey, I took the version of your deck, and I made Mythic. I made Platinum for the first time. You know, so that's been pretty exciting to hear from everybody and seeing that happen. And then we're actually getting a lot of subscribers over on the YouTube channel. So it was a good week for me, man. I can't complain.
And I hit Platinum. I didn't use one of Daquan's decks, sorry, but I did get Platinum for the first time, so that was exciting for me.
Dude, that's still an achievement. I know some people look at it and say, like, well, I can't make Mythic, I suck. But it's like, it's a grind. You know? And if you're not always a top-tier player playing a top-tier deck or whatever, like, you just have to go through those bumps in the road. And celebrate every small victory, right? If it's your first time at Gold, great. Your first time at Platinum, your first time at Diamond. Like, those are still cool thresholds. I used to have players that they would celebrate winning an FNM, going 3-1 or 4-0 or whatever for the first time. And people would be like, yeah, whatever, dude, it's just an FNM. I'm like, you know what? For a person who maybe only ever went 2-2 in a tournament for, who knows, for 2 years, and they finally win an FNM, that's a big deal for them.
Real?
Let them celebrate it. Like, why hate on somebody else's celebration when it's totally harmless? Just let them enjoy it.
One of my favorite movie clips, I think it's Shirley Temple, or that, look, my duck laid an egg. That's no big deal. Can you lay an egg?
For real, it's just like that. Like, when I see people, they're like, oh yeah, I finally got like my first tomato out of my garden. And then somebody's always like, well, whatever, I have a whole garden full of tomatoes. And it's like, dude, somebody's happy. Like, they put a plant in the ground, grew a thing for the first time, and it's exciting for them. Let them just be excited about it.
It's people enjoy things.
Yeah, for real. Like, that's one of the things I think people do need to get over is like, and here's an example for me. Like, they're first person shooters, right? I could care less if I play them. Like, they don't do that much for me. I occasionally play two or three times a year because I have some friends I'm hanging out with and I'll play, but they're not really my jam. But I get that they're popular and I have friends who love them. So I'm not going to sit here and tell them like they're idiots or how stupid they are. Their game's not that good or whatever. It's like, cool. If y'all enjoy it, enjoy it. Like, just because I don't enjoy it doesn't mean they can't. Like, that's just crazy logic. Same thing with deck building, right? Some people are going to enjoy control decks or combo decks or whatever. Like, obviously, I play a bunch of aggro decks. Fine. Like, people who want to see aggro decks can come watch me. I've even told people on my Twitch stream that have recommended certain decks. I'm like, man, that just wouldn't be fun for everybody because I'm not going to enjoy playing it. I'm probably going to make a bunch of mistakes and it's going to be just terrible. Just not my style. But I can recommend some people who do play those type of decks and you can go watch their channel. And that's totally fine. And people have been surprised by that. And I'm like, no. They're looking for a certain thing. I know somebody I could recommend to them. And then other people show up and like, yep, I'm here because you're playing the Gruul deck. And now they're just like there every single day I'm on, right?
You're right.
That's okay. There's something out there for everybody. But let's talk about what we learned in the past week. So what did you learn, Brian?
Apparently, Ferrari has figured out how to make a very inexpensive ventilator. And not that I want to get sick, but if I do, I want the Ferrari ventilator. That's the only Ferrari I'll probably ever be in any way connected to.
That's wild. That's like a Gucci belt, right? It's not really necessary. It's still just going to hold your pants up. Same thing on a ventilator. Like, it's probably going to do the same thing, but it would be kind of sweet.
And the irony there is apparently one of the more inexpensive ventilators. All right, thanks, Ferrari. You finally figured out how to make something cheap, and it's a ventilator.
Though, to be fair, they're not the only ones. I've heard that a couple of the car companies were working on some. There was another big company. Was it not just GE? It was somebody else. But taking a couple of their company divisions that make certain types of electronics or certain... Oh, it was Dyson.
Okay.
Because they make vacuums and stuff. And it's like, oh, well, obviously,
yeah,
they know how to push air back and forth. So they've started helping make ventilators, the way I understand it.
Ford versus Ferrari 2. It won't be quite as exciting as the first one.
That reminds me. I need to watch that movie. It's probably downloadable by now. I could probably
have to be, because they're putting like movies are going straight to download now. Scoob comes out, I think, Friday, and it's already you can download it Friday.
Oh, also, not to hijack the segment, but did you see that AMC Theaters is threatening to not show any Universal movies anymore?
I saw that, and I'm pretty sure that's a bluff. If it was some indie studio, you can't cut Universal out.
Well, sort of, but you saw why, right?
Well, yeah, I get it, but it's still a crazy stance. I mean, it's not like they just said, hey, we want to put all our movies for digital download. People couldn't go to the theater, and they've spent hundreds of millions on these movies.
Oh, no, I'm with you. The problem is, though, Universal talked about doing that going forward for having simultaneous release, both for theaters and download. And I think that's the problem.
I think that's coming, and they're just the first people to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like a lot of things currently in the world, there are a lot of experiments happening right now because there's no better time, and let's just see.
Because I don't know when I'll feel comfortable going to a movie theater again.
True. It's going to be a while. I will tell you what I learned this past week. And this is actually a useful tip for people because it's a thing I forgot about, but I discovered it's actually still up. There is a free chat online. There's a message forum. It's a chat program, almost IRC style, if you want to look at it that way, that you can join and you can ask judges questions pretty much 24/7. You go to chat.magicjudges.org/MTG rules. And you can literally go on. All you do is you put in a username, click the captcha box or whatever. And then you literally just say like, hey, I have this rules problem. Can somebody answer it for me? And the reason I even went looking for it is because I remembered it being a thing. And I figured right now, that'd be a good resource for people to have. Because you're not playing at a store where, you know, other judges or players are around that can help you. You may just be playing over your phone if you're playing Commander or something, which creates a lot of different rules issues. And you may not have a good resource. So this is one that, like, you can go and there's usually somebody available around the world using it that can answer a question. So I just figured that was a fun resource to tell people about that they just may not have been sure was available. I don't know how many people need it, but I figure there's a lot of situations right now where that could come up. So why not?
Like so many things, better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Yeah, for sure. So again, if people need it, it's chat.magicjudges.org/MTG rules. And I would say just bookmark it because you never know. Keep it on your phone in case something comes up when you're out and about, or even when you're deck building and you're curious about something. It's a quick way to just get a response. And I didn't try using it recently. I just went to see that the site was still up and working. But previously, when I've had a thing, I mean, I usually had somebody answer within a minute. You know, I mean, I guess if it's late night, wherever you're at, it could be slower. But during prime hours, yeah, there's almost always somebody.
That's awesome.
But let's get into some Magic news, because there was an interesting one that came up a couple days ago. And I believe this was on a couple of pro players' Twitter accounts. But there was discussion about the regional pro tour that's coming up. And supposedly there's going to be an announcement sometime in the next week, at least that's what these rumors say, that they are still going to host the regional pro tour, but now it's just going to be online, since obviously we can't gather people to do that in person.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. This is kind of the solution we assumed would happen at this point. Now, players are upset because it was supposed to be, I believe, modern and something for the formats, and now it's going to be standard only because it's on Arena. Which, to me, that's a silly thing to be upset about, because either the tournament wasn't going to happen at all, or it's going to happen on Arena. These are our choices.
Yeah, and as you said, this is something we've been, it's not a surprise, we've been knowing about this for a while. But none of this is been happening.
And Magic Online is just not a watchable product for the large percentage of Magic players, let's be honest. So you can't use that as your vehicle to do all your coverage and everything else. Like, for them as a business, it makes more sense. Even just for, like, which program you want to push more that's going to draw more eyeballs or whatever, you got to do Arena.
I've been wanting to ask, because Matt is pretty much the only thing really keeping Magic Online going, the fact that so many people have invested in it, because Arena just seems superior in almost every way.
It's that, and it's all the older cards being available.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to play Vintage, even if you want to play Commander, really, you know, you want to play Legacy, Modern, like, you got to play on Magic Online.
That's fair.
So, like I said, the people being upset about that, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just, you know, of course, people are like, well, why can't it at least be standard in draft? Well, right now, we just got the human draft queues up, and I'm sure they're still learning from them, but we at least see that they work. They're not built for we can schedule, like, this pod of eight players can draft together yet. That's just not where we're at. Like, would we like it to be different? Sure, but it's just not. And they're making decisions based on the materials at hand. I mean, there's just not much more that can be asked. Especially since the tournament supposedly is going to happen June 13th to 14th. Which has created a different problem, because people are saying, well, why did the pro players get to know about this coming in mid-June before everybody else and get a head start and blah, blah, blah. But to me, with it being online, and assuming the announcement's coming within a week, that's not really that big of an advantage.
Yeah, you ain't got to book a plane or anything.
Yeah, people already are playing standard. People already have access to Arena. Like, I would assume a large chunk of the people that are qualified, I mean, I guess maybe some of them don't play any standard, but you still have a month to play standard and get your stuff together and play Arena for a month. Like, I don't, it's a weird argument.
Like you said, who didn't know it was going to be Arena, and knowing what cards aren't available, who didn't know that it was probably going to have a large standard component to it? None of this is just earth-shattering information, I don't think, but people do love to complain.
Now, I will say this. There is one point of, well, technically two. One, they didn't mention anything about future invites or what we call fractional invites, that if you did well enough times, you would eventually qualify for an invite, even if you didn't win a tournament. So we don't know how those are going to work or moving forward, if they're going to exist or not, because supposedly those weren't mentioned in these discussions. Granted, these are rumors. These are things people put out. They are not official statements yet. It may also be a thing that Wizards has a plan for, and they just didn't feel the reason to discuss it with whoever they discussed it with. So who knows? But the bigger issue is the expectation right now is that the prize pool will be lowered.
Which, again, is perfectly understandable with the situation we're in.
Yeah, like here are the things for me, like why I think it's justifiable. The first is they're not selling any type of extra stuff at these events. There's no vendor spaces, no side tournaments, no booster drafts, no nothing. So that money can't be recouped there. The other issue is that Wizards is also going to be making significantly less money this year. I mean, obviously, we're not hanging out at stores. Stores aren't buying as much. We're not booster drafting. And I want people to understand how it works. If retailers aren't able to keep their doors open and they close, the distributors have fewer people buying stuff from them and they're losing accounts, which in turn means that those distributors are also not buying extra product from Wizards of the Coast. And there's players like us that are saving some extra money because you don't know necessarily what the situation is going to be like, or some people on unemployment or whatever can't spend the money. So, yeah, we're just in that scenario right now. Wizards is also just going to be making less.
I mean, unless you sell toilet paper or hand sanitizer, almost everybody can expect to make less money probably than what they did last year at this time.
Yeah, if it's not something that's essential for living or essential for business, effectively. So that's kind of the tough part, right? I get that we would all like for there to be more prize money. You know, I have no problem with that. I think that makes perfect sense. And I think the events that Star City's been, or not Star City, but Channel Fireball's been running, I think qualify people for these events as well. So there may be a few extra bodies. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work. But I don't think Wizards is in the wrong here.
Yeah.
And okay, also, let's not forget, we've talked about it a couple times on the show, they're also sending piles of free product to retailers. So they're spending a ton of money giving away millions of dollars in product that they're going to get no money for.
Yeah.
On top of making less money.
And it's not just Wizards. Look around, you know, any kind of tournament competitive community, anybody that's playing is not playing the same way they were this time last year. If it's Korean baseball, they're playing with empty stadiums. NBA is talking about maybe playing at Disney World and only having, what, 6 or 8 teams. Nobody is able to put on the same show they did this time last year for the same obvious reasons.
Yeah, so it's tough. You know, and don't get me wrong, I get it. Like, on the outside, people just say, man, Wizards is this big company. Why are they not giving us more money? But they are spending a lot right now. They're spending extra resources building stuff for Arena, paying people to stay in contact with these retailers and get codes out to people. And, you know, like I said, giving just free product to retailers on top of it, building extra assets to help them get pre-orders and stuff in on the latest products. And I'm sure people are already spending extra hours navigating all the production issues, shipping issues, you know, like who knows? So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get it. I'm in favor of, yes, it would be nice if there was more money, but I also kind of get it from Wizards' perspective. Because also, remember, these are, as much as they are fun competitive events, they're also marketing vehicles. And if your experts, whoever those people are, tell you that here's what you can expect to get back from these type of events money-wise, well, right now, that number's probably not as high as it would have been 6 months ago. And if they're not making the money off of it, you can't expect them to spend that much on it to get no return. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still business, y'all. So I don't know. Any of this could possibly be not true. It could also be 100% true. I will say one of the players anyway, and I won't put them on blast. You can go find Twitter stuff and find stuff on Reddit, is a pretty well-known player and fairly respected, so I would assume he would report as accurately as possible. Though there's also the other thing too, people can misinterpret things. Wizards may not have told everybody everything. So who knows? But we'll be finding out shortly, apparently.
Also, none of this sounds crazy. This sounds just like we would expect. If he was saying something like, oh, okay, there's going to be huge prizes and thousands of people are going to be there, that would sound crazy, and I would doubt it. But this sounds exactly like what we would expect the regional tour to look like under current conditions.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, there was nothing in this that I even batted an eye at and went like, oh, well, that sucks, or oh, that's weird. I kind of read it and went, yeah, that all makes sense. Like, I don't understand why there's Twitter threads and Reddit threads. Like, this all seems normal. Like, literally, it all makes sense. So, I don't know. I get it, though. Tensions are high right now for a lot of people, and nobody knows what to make out of some of this. So, it's just a tough time. But let's talk about something a little more positive. Standard is fun. I know some people are complaining because they're like, there's Yorian decks and companions or whatever. But dude, I got to tell you, after like a week ago, I would say somewhere around a week to 10 days, I had a night on stream where I played literally all, but I think one of the decks was a Yorian deck that I played against.
Yeah.
But since that day, I've played against so many different decks. I mean, I played against Mono Red, a couple of Sacrifice decks, a couple of different Control decks, a Simic Flash deck, a Blue-Black Flash deck. Played against a couple of Gruul decks, a couple of Fires decks. And I'm like, this is what you want, right? Like, I'm playing, if I stream for 3 hours and I play 10 different matches, I probably play at least six different decks, against at least six decks. And last night, I think I played against eight when I went back and looked. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Has it ever been better than that in terms of the number of decks you can play? When is there ever more than 10 decks that are viable?
I mean, maybe. But here's the thing. I made a quick list of decks that even just either finished well in tournaments or had people posting that they had ran into Mythic recently. There were a couple of different Luka decks, a couple of different Winota decks. There were some that had both of those in them. There was Fires of Invention decks, a couple of different varieties, a couple of different, with the companions, there was a couple of different Obosh decks, Yorian decks, Lurus decks. Gruul made a comeback, managed to win a tournament over the weekend. Mono Red, a couple of different varieties. Team of Reclamation has been getting played a lot. And then a couple of different cycling decks even.
Looks like all colors are well represented too, because the cycling, I think, is primarily white and I guess a little bit of blue. Sacrifice is primarily black.
That's what I'm saying. Like all the color, and not only that, I will say this: like we're seeing a lot of different cards being played as well. So this is probably for this stage of the format. Usually, when you get down to the last couple of sets before rotation, you kind of have the selection of all the best cards that everybody knows are good making their way into decks. But because of stuff like Yorian, you have some of the other like Omen of Fire and things like that getting played. You know, hell, the Gruul deck we played against, I barely beat it on stream the other day because they were playing, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the instant spell that gives a creature +1/+1 and double strike. And I was like, what? Yeah. Oh, I think because they were playing I think it was because of an Obosh Gruul deck, and they could only play stuff with odd mana costs.
Oh, yeah.
It was just such a random thing. But, you know, those cards are out there. I mean, so crazy things have been. And this is, I'm playing right now, I'm at Diamond 2, I think, maybe Diamond 3. So it's not like I'm just playing against, you know, people at the bronze level. I mean, these are good players playing a variety of cards. I think it's awesome.
And while companions will probably get some tweaking, you're seeing, you know, the deck with 20 more cards in it, deck where everything's odd cost. This is just wild stuff. Kind of fun.
Now, I have to ask, what did you recently play your way into Platinum with?
It was Mono Green, and it's kind of fitting the theme of Ikoria. I'm running humans side by side with monsters and bringing them back with Survivor's Bond. Of course, I got to use the King Kong ape, Kogla, is always fun.
Okay, I can't hate on that. That's That's a deck after my own heart. I could appreciate that.
Big creatures, turn them sideways, slapping people in the face.
So even with that type of deck, like, what would you say are the decks you have had success against, and what standard decks have you had trouble with?
I'm surprised. I've done pretty well against Yorians when I faced them. I think just because it gets, if it wins fast before they are able to draw, you know, because they, I mean, there are downsides, obviously, to having, what, 20 more cards in your deck. Sometimes they just don't get going before I've got a Lovestruck Beast and Kogla and a couple of other large creatures down.
It's funny you say that, because that was one of the things that I was contending with people, is that Gruul was really good against the Yorian decks. And even people on stream were like, because I told you the one night I played, whatever, like 7 of my 8 matches were against Yorian decks. And we won, I think we went like 6-2 or something against them. And people were like, I don't understand, how are you beating these decks or whatever? I was like, well, because you just get in early and you have haste creatures. So then when they sweep the board, you're like, great, hit you. Now you're at 2, and I have like 1 million outs.
Yep.
I mean, that's just what happens. But I think it's also...
I respond. I'm sending creatures in knowing they're going to die, and then I'm going to pick them up back next turn, especially if one of them is Questing Beast. I'm swinging again next turn.
See, and that's interesting, because I think, you know, even with you playing more mono green, because I played that early on and did a video for it, but...
I saw that one.
I think this kind of speaks to what we've been seeing, that some of the aggro decks are making a little bit of a comeback because they're good against those type of decks. So where mono red had kind of got shunned away, or even some, by the way, I have a very sweet Mardu Knights deck that plays Lurrus, and it's a lot of fun. I think actually that video will probably be up on my YouTube page or our YouTube channel at the time of this going live, but
I can't wait, because you know, I love the Knights,
but I also played it because of the whole Yorian situation. And again, it does pretty well, you know, so, but the interesting thing is, though, now that other decks know that, stuff like Team of Reclamation gets to have a little bit of a resurgence, because now they can play more flame sweeps and stuff like that that are good against those little creature decks.
Yep.
And now it all starts to come full circle again, right? Or the other thing, too, is when you're playing a bunch of small creatures, you're not as worried about the Luka decks, because a lot of them are going to get Agent of Treachery. And you're like, okay, cool, you steal my 2/2.
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you going to do? I still have like 5 attackers, you know? So, yeah, it's just interesting. I think the format's, at least standard, is in a pretty good place. I don't think there's a lot to complain about right now. I mean, I say that. I do get it when, if you're only playing against decks with companions, or you keep running into the same one, that would be annoying. Like, I've been lucky enough that has not been my experience, and I've been building a large variety of decks and having some success with them. And somebody like you, who's not even made Platinum, you found a deck that's also done well in the format and can handle the other big decks.
Yeah, I was as shocked as you are.
No, I think that's great, man. Actually, okay, so when you're playing Mono Green, what have been the decks you've had the most trouble with?
That's the thing. I really need to, I guess, make a list of what's... I think the other mono green matchup, because theirs is probably a little better tune than mine, so I don't know exactly why, but I feel like I'm significantly less than 50% against other mono green decks. Let's see. I think the sacrifice decks, just because of all the, you know, just all the various interactions going on, some of which I'm not even ready for, probably.
That kind of makes sense, especially if they're able to just, like, claim the firstborn on like a Yorvo or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's pretty cool. I will tell you this. Another thing for people that haven't been to my stream, one of the things I do at the end of each session, most of the time, unless we get into a long discussion back and forth with chat that just eats up time, I bring up MTGA Tool. So for those of you who don't know what it is, first off, you can go to mtgatool.com. And no, we're not sponsored. This is just a thing of me saying, hey, I like this program. Though, if anybody knows the guys over at MTJ Tool and they'd like to sponsor something, I have some places. But the program basically lets you see everything within your dashboard in Arena at any given time, which is awesome. So you can even build decks, have them sitting there. It'll tell you how many wild cards you need and all that stuff. But it tracks your wins and losses. It even tracks the changes you've made to a deck. So you can always go back and look and see what your most recent changes were. It shows you the percentages that you're running into all the other decks in the metagame. It shows you all your individual win percentages against each one of those decks. You can also look by archetype. You can look by color. You can also see your individual deck and the win percentages among each of the other deck types, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So when I'm deck building or I'm curious about something, or even if I'm wanting to make changes, I can do it with correct information. So if I go back and I'm like, okay, well, you know, over the last 2 or 3 days, I would say, I don't know, 20-8 or 20-12 or something like that, right? But then I'm like, man, I feel like this matchup's really rough. But then I go look and it's like, oh no, I actually won 3, lost 2. Maybe it's not as bad as I thought. And then you can click on go through your history, click on the individual games or matches, and you can see like what cards were drawn throughout the match, the order that your hand of cards got played. So like you can really deep dive if you want to really try to decipher, okay, how did I lose that match? Or how did I win that match? You know, one of the things that led to me is like, I don't need 4 Embercleaves in a deck because I'm not winning with Embercleave that often. Like I looked back at all the matches I'm winning and I was like, well, Embercleave's good, but I've won a lot of these without it because of all these weird circumstances. So I just started cutting some from my list.
But I understand you had to put it in there because you were on Embercleave before lots of people were interested in Embercleave. So I get it.
Yeah, it's still in the list, but you know. So anyway, that's just a good tool. If you want to check it out, it's free. Honestly, I'll be 100%. I don't even know how they make money because they do regular updates on it. And it's a good piece of software, and graphically, it looks neat. The UI is simple.
Does it shoot out ads or anything? Or?
No. That's the thing. There's no ads. I mean, there might be one on their website, but once you download the software, you don't have to go to their website. That's not true. I went recently because with the most recent update to Arena, there was something they changed to where MTGA Tool couldn't speak to it properly to get your information. So they had to do a major update on that, so I had to download it again. But other than that, that's it. You don't have to frequent the site. Like, and they don't ask for any of your information. Like, you go download it, you put your email, you create a password, and that's it. Like, it looks at the files on your machine. To my knowledge, as far as I could tell, it's not sending any information anywhere. It's not sending files anywhere. It's literally just working off of your desktop. So God bless them if they're just doing this as a labor of love. But if they want to monetize it, I would not blame them. But yeah, cool tool. Recommend it. Go check it out. It could really help up your game. And then there was one more piece of information that Wizards posted that there is going to be a banning announcement next Monday, May 18th.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yep. Now, interestingly, they did say specifically it's going to impact Vintage, Legacy, and Brawl. They didn't mention Standard. They didn't mention Modern. Don't know why or what that means. Everybody's kind of expecting Companions to have something happen to them. Or particularly Lurrus just getting banned in older formats.
Okay. And for those of us who are still, less experienced, Daquan, why is Lurrus the target here?
Okay, so Lurrus is a 3-mana, 3/2 companion. You can only play stuff that costs 2 or less. Well, creatures, like permanents that cost 2 or less. That being said, when you're playing something like Vintage or Legacy, a very overwhelmingly large percentage of the things in your deck are going to cost 2 or less. So this leads to situations, and I've seen it most recently in Modern, so it's possible they may update their announcement to include Modern as well, I would think. But there have been times you look at the Legacy list, and it's pretty much whatever you would call the deck with Lurrus put in front of it in the title. So it's like, I don't know, Lurrus John, Lurrus whatever, blah, 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 all the way down the list. They're mostly just playing Lurrus because, again, it's a free card with no real penalty. And you can replay all those permanents. So if you have Lion's Eye Diamond that you sacrificed, you can play it back out of the graveyard. You know, if you have some good creature that was dealing damage, you know, you can get that back out of the graveyard. You know, replay Termagoyfs, replay, I don't know, damn near everything in the format, actually, at that point. And the problem is, when it's every single deck's like that, and every single deck is playing the companion, yeah, it's not... It's just creating a gameplay state that is not fun for a lot of the people, you know, because now every game gets kind of grindy and it starts to become about Lurrus or when they can cast it and back it up or whatever. And it's just kind of a mess that I don't think people really want. I can't remember who I saw post about it the other day. Might've been earlier today, actually, but somebody made a Twitter post and kind of said the same thing about Modern, that the most recent event they played in, something like 6 of the top 8 decks or something had all had Lurrus something, you know, to the same effect. So I don't know. It's a tough situation. I would assume, though, if the companions don't get errated in some way, very likely Lurrus is going to get nixed or get heavily penalized in the older formats. So yeah, I don't know. Like I said, in Standard, I don't think it's as big of a problem, but the older formats, when you just have access to more cards, and the older you go, and the more cards you have, the more efficient the decks are. Yeah. You just have a bigger pool of cards, and this just plays into that way too well. So we'll keep your eyes on that. Obviously, next week, we'll probably be talking about it. I don't know. Other than the companions, though, I don't know what else they would really put on the list. I haven't been playing much other than Standard right now.
Yeah, there's nothing else that I feel like I've heard about that's just super oppressive.
Yeah, so I can't really speak to that. I'm sure there's some other podcasts that can do a better job of that than I can at this point. But all that being said, I think it's a pretty solid time overall for Magic. However, on the dinner table segment, we want to talk about moving forward. You know, we discussed a little bit last week, I think it was, about kind of how we would be treating it as far as, you know, people going into spaces and whatever. But you're in a spot where they're actually opening up businesses again.
Yeah.
And people are starting to have the real conversation of how open our business is going to be and what's it going to be like to go to tournaments and whatnot. So how is that working out, at least in the local groups and stuff down there, man?
Well, I'm in a social media group that talks about Dallas Magic, and they decide, well, I mean, at this point, it's public. It's a Facebook group. Anybody that's into Magic in the area can join it. And they have decided they are not going to post. The people are opening stores and apparently wanting to have in-person tournaments again. And they just, as an editorial decision, have decided they are not going to post any in-person tournament information. And, of course, you can imagine the thread and how the comments, and I'm sure it's probably still going, but they just felt like they are not ready to promote in-person Magic tournaments yet for obvious health-related reasons. And, of course, as we mentioned, there are widely differing opinions on that.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. Let's start, like, how do you feel about it? Like a administrator or group making the decision not to promote the events?
I mean, I think, you know, it is their group and it's up to them to, you know, that's part of the role you take on as a moderator, what information you would like to have appear in the group. And also, I'm going to say these threads are, as you can imagine, they're deteriorating into political arguments, and that's not what anybody wants to come to a DFW Magic group for, at least certainly not any new players. If I'm a new player and I see that, I immediately am hitting the button going back to whatever group I was in before.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, because I could honestly, like, and I, to be upfront, like, I'm in the same camp you are. If any of the groups I was part of were wanting to push those events again, and I was in charge, I probably wouldn't do it. Partially also because it's tough, right? Because if something were to happen, like, okay, let me tell this story. And this is, I say this because this is something kind of close. I mean, it's on the other side of the sound here, but like it could have happened to anybody. But there was a local church group that has choir practice. And even when they were like, hey, we should start social distancing, this is near the beginning when they're saying we should start social distancing, you know, we found these cases, let's minimize getting together at churches and worship and whatever, all this. The leader of the choir was still like, hey, we're still going to do our thing. It's only 2 hours. It's, I think it was like 60 of them or something. They're like, cool, let's get this together. Within a couple of weeks, if I remember correctly, the number was 40 of them, something, two-thirds of them had come down or tested positive for the virus.
Wow.
And like six or seven of them were already hospitalized. So knowing that that can happen in that type of group. Now, admittedly, they were singing. They're obviously blowing air around, breathing each other's air, whatever, right?
Like, they're probably in the older group too, in a choir.
Yeah, sure. But just knowing that is a thing that can happen, I don't know if I would feel good promoting an event that, especially when nobody else is running events and people would possibly come out, especially if one of these places starts offering like crazy prizes to drum up business again, that could draw 60, 70, 80 people.
Yeah.
Like, would I want to contribute to that? And I think for me, it would be a personal decision of no, I would not. Now, if somebody is going to open their doors and you are willing to take that gamble, that's cool. That's your legal right to do that between y'all two. I'm just like, hell, I'll be, this is how much of a nerd I am right now. Like, I have literally considered the idea of making a spreadsheet and going down the list of all the people that I would normally be around or see within like a 2 month period. Wow. Under normal circumstances. And I'm even thinking of using a red, yellow, green system based on their behaviors during isolation and using that to determine like, well, should I be hanging out with this person? Cause they're a bigger risk to my health right now.
That is fabulously nerdy. And I love you for it.
I'm just saying though, but this is the world we're in, right? Like this is a real thing. Like if I see that you're like, no, I've been going out doing here and I'm hanging out with this person and I go out and do something publicly every day and blah, I'm like, yeah, I'm probably going to slow down hanging out with you for the next couple months versus the person that's like, I've been at home, you know, I'm doing this online. I go out to do my shopping and come back or whatever. And it's like, okay, cool. Probably inviting you over for a board game night.
I'll tell you, you know, as I mentioned, probably every week, we have folks in Louisiana. My wife went home for Mother's Day, you know, and I couldn't bring myself to do it. So we spent half of Mother's Day apart because she wanted to go see her mom. I'm like, I'm not ready to go back to Louisiana yet. I just couldn't wrap my head around it.
I don't blame you, man. I really don't. I mean, even with tickets being dirt cheap to fly, I was like, yeah, I'm still not interested. Like, can't do it.
Because I know how many people in my family are like, oh, that's, you know, that's just hype. It ain't that, ain't nobody here got corona. Okay. If you could see who had it, what a wonderfully easy world it would be to walk around and navigate. But it ain't ever been how it works.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing, too. And one of the points I think it sounds like is anybody, like you're saying, in that group or anybody else that controls any group or whatever, there for a lot of them, there is a conscious decision they're having to make. And if something were, even if they might only be 50-50 on it, right? But if something were to happen, they're going to have to live with that. That they promoted this big thing like crazy and had 200 comments on this thing and people sharing information that was under their watch. And they contributed to more people going to this thing. And they're making the decision to, if nothing else, keep their conscience clean.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Like I'm saying, like if you want to go as an individual, you want to go to that store's website or Facebook group or whatever, cool. That's between you and them. But to be upset at somebody else for making that decision seems a little bit silly.
And let me tell you, somebody that's worked at almost every level of content creation from, you know, local paper, print magazine, I mean, you know how many people would have just slapped those announcements in and not even given a second thought? Thousands.
Oh, ton. Yeah. The other thing, too, I will say that there's been retailers. Oh, also, I guess I'm going to plug myself here. I just started posting a series of online interviews with retailers so they can talk about issues around the virus and how it's affected business and how they're going to deal with organized play going forward. So my first video is already up with Frogtown Hobbies with Rob Kaufman, who's in Rossford, Ohio, which is basically just outside Toledo. So a suburb, I guess. But good interview. He talks about a couple of different things. I have some others coming up that I'm finalizing. But a lot of these retailers and some of these private groups have already had people literally threatening them, you know, wishing their failure, all this stuff, because they're asking people to wear masks in their business. And if that's the idea people already have, then I also understand why a lot of these stores are not wanting to do organized play for the next few months. Because they're increasing the risk, right? Even if you don't think it's that bad, like, some of them are just looking out for their employees. Some of them looking out for their neighbors, you know, and they're just trying to reduce that risk. I mean, you don't even know, like, some of them have family at home that have different health issues, or older people that they live with or take care of on a regular basis. Like, it's not even about you just going into their store. Like, several of these owners are telling you, well, I have this reason I have to have people wear masks, or I have an employee that has this thing and I have to have people wear masks, right? Like, there are a lot of reasons somebody could be asking you to do this other than just, oh, everybody's going to get the virus. Right? There are people in situations that are higher risk that they are also attached to.
Yeah.
And that's a concern. And here's the other, now on a personal, and I posted this over on my Instagram feed, but just on a personal level, don't go into these businesses getting mad at employees. Because that's the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
Because at a lot of these places, the employees don't even have a say. You know, you're like, ah, it's so dumb. Y'all aren't running F&M this week and blah, 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 blah. They didn't make that choice. They're there punching in, doing a job, collecting a check.
Depending on how big the chain is, they've never even met the manager, let alone talked to them about anything.
Sure. But I see people, like, not even just magic. They're going into grocery stores or whatever, just being mad at, you know, the person at the counter. That's crazy. Like, imagine if you at your job, listener, somebody were to come in and just start berating you for a corporate decision. You had nothing to do. And I'm not even talking about virus. I don't know. It could be y'all made things a certain price, or you made the decision to close at 5 on a Sunday or something. You didn't have anything to do with that. Why should you catch flack from a random person because you said, hey, here's our policy now? It's insane. Even more insane, and again, talking to these retailers, and I know a store owner where this happened, they were upset at this person for saying, yes, when I open my doors again here in a couple weeks, I am going to have people wear masks. I'm going to have these protocols or whatever to make sure sick people aren't showing up, blah, blah, blah. Only a couple people in the store at a time, you know, all this. Started getting hate mail. Not a surprise. Then the same store was like, okay, there's all these protests and all stuff going on, and just made a post that had a list of names of all the businesses that either were present or openly supporting the no mask effort, effectively. Then she caught hell for that. So it was like, okay, so trying to do all the things, you're mad that I support all the things. So now making a list and telling everybody who doesn't support my side of the argument. And she even said, like, I don't want people sending hate mail or whatever. I'm just putting this out here so you know if you choose to wear a mask or not, here are some choices. Then people got mad. Like, how are you just doxing stores and putting stuff out there and blah, blah, blah. Which one, by the way, if you were going to publicly make statements or you were going to be at a protest, you are not being doxed. You are putting yourself out there publicly. Yeah. Like, you're just mad somebody else made more attention out of it. But, like, I will tell you, as a person, no longer as a business, but I had this belief as a business, I don't put anything out on public social media that I'm not willing to back up. I mean, I know the risk. Like, anything I put out, any job interview, any interaction, any writing, any whatever, like, that's public, and I am willing to stand by what is there. Now, I'm also willing to change my mind. Like, I've had many discussions with people. And if it turns out I'm wrong, cool. I will post my mea culpa and eat it. But I'm not going to ever be mad at somebody for going like, oh, well, look what Daquan said, or look at this thing that Daquan's involved with, or whatever. Like, you can't be mad about that.
He's been hanging out with Brad Allen again. I told you he was a troublemaker.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't be mad about that, though. Like, even locally, there's been people getting hate mail because somehow, I guess, some list of people who had reported businesses opening when they were supposed to be closed or whatever became a thing. So there's people getting death threats on this. And it's like, what are we doing, people? What are we doing? Like, and here's the thing. We're going to reach a point soon where stores can have gatherings up to 20 people. You know, I think that's a couple months away, but we're getting there. I have no problem if I go to my local store's F&M and there's 10 or 12 people. We're having a little Saturday, maybe standard event. If everybody's wearing masks and there's hand sanitizer, or I guess gloves if we're drafting, and people are being reasonable, I can probably deal with that. But if you're telling me that you want to, like, even now, we talked about it last time. Like, I don't know if the Hunter Burton Memorial Open is even going to happen yet. And that's rescheduled for August.
Yeah.
That's 3 months from now.
And we can't, you know, the experts can't say what it's going to be like in 3 months. This is all, I hate to say, uncharted territory for the 100th time. But yeah, this is.
There's a big difference when you're talking about your local 15 person thing versus an 80 to 100 person thing.
Yeah.
Or in the case of the Hunter Burton Memorial, there've been 500 and 600 people. So yeah, like, I mean, it's a tough time for everybody. So I just think we need people to cool the jets a little bit. Like, organized play is going to look a little weird for probably up to 6 months, if not longer.
Yeah. Till there's something definitively they can, a pill they can give you or a vaccine they can give you where you will recover from this pretty quickly or not be able to get it at all until we're there.
Yeah, for me personally, I think we talked about this off the air. For me, it's really two things. Either, well, actually, we have a local lady, actually. It's in the testing program right now for one of the medicines for COVID treatment, which there's others, but one of the local ladies is part of the task group. I think it's Remdesivir, is how you pronounce it.
Sounds
it's
good.
A weird, that's what we're going to go. Weird multi-syllable thing. But if they find a treatment that, like I said, can turn a four-week visit into 4 days and minimize the amount of physical long-term damage or whatever, then okay, maybe I feel a little better. Because then if something does happen, I get sick, I go to the hospital, get some medicine, I'm laid up for a couple days, but I'm good to go, right? That I can probably live with. If we get a vaccine, absolutely. Then we're all good. We just start taking the vaccine like we do the flu and we're all good. And I think at either of those points happening is when you start seeing the behavior change drastically where we get what we'll call back to normal. But I think if either of those things don't happen, it's just going to be a very slow transition until enough people are sick or there's enough natural immunity or whatever that happens over time that it becomes less of an issue. And I know people don't want to hear that, but I mean, it sucks when you use, I mean, I get it. Cause I had a weekly thing. I went and hung out with people, yeah. Went and, even when I wasn't playing, I'd go to the local store and chit chat with people. And it was cool, but that's just not a thing I may be able to do for a little while. And it's not anybody's fault. Everybody's just trying to protect themselves and protect their business and protect their employees or their relatives or whatever. So, you know, we got to chill. We just got to chill. I'd be interested in getting updates from you, though, on how that plays out in that particular group.
Just my personal experience, we went to get dinner Friday night, and I'm talking about parking lots were full. Now, this is supposed to be, I think, what, 25% capacity. Some of those places must have a lot larger capacity than what they look like from the outside, because Texas looked open from our Friday night experience.
And my concern there would be people not following the rules and being safe. is going to make it even longer before we can get back to normal and have our events again. And that sucks.
There were cars at the bingo hall. I'm hoping they were just like maybe a cleaning crew or something, because I can't even fathom a bingo hall being open right now.
I would assume they're closed. I mean, I know around here, like every casino, whatever, they've been shuttered for days. And then that'd be like the real sign we're back to normal, when like the casinos and the poker halls open up again. That'd be the sign we're back to normalcy. But I think we're still a good ways away from that.
Or maybe the ad campaign is, hey, gamble your money and your health. Come on down.
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't want to make this too much about, you know, making it a political thing. But these are things that affect organized play and the game for us largely going forward. You know, we're already talking about they've had to move the regional pro tour or players tours from wherever they were going to be at the different locations, just being online. You know, these major charity tournaments that we do, we've already rescheduled and it may potentially get canceled. You know, there's just things that this affects that is part of our gaming life as Magic players. And that's unfortunate, but there's not a lot we can do about it. All we can do is make the steps to get back to normalcy sooner. And more importantly, be kind enough to support everybody in the community, whether that's our writers, our content creators, retailers, employees, judges, whatever, all through the chain, because eventually we're going to want to be around all these people again. We're going to want to hang out with each other again. You don't want all that animosity, vitriol, whatever, because a store made a decision for you to wear a mask. Like, because I'm looking at some of these people and I'm really having that thought of like, you go nuts today. They're not going to forget about that in, let's say, 4 or 5 months.
No.
When they're running events again and you want to come hang out. You know what I mean? Like, that ain't going away. So just something to think about before somebody flies off the handle and says something they're going to regret later. But I don't know, man. Do you have anything else to add to that?
I think you covered it. Just please, you know, remember the employees are not the ones making the decisions, and just try to, you know, put yourself in their spot if you can. Because I'm going to guess everybody at some point has had a job where somebody chewed them out for something the manager told them to do.
Yeah, that's probably happened at least a couple times to me.
You were lucky enough to inherit your own company or something to not have to talk to people. I remember.
Oh, no. I still had people that would be upset at decisions the owner made while talking to me, not realizing I was the owner.
Because you're black. How could you be the owner?
Yep.
I once had somebody at the paper go off on me for, you know, as long as I would hold onto the phone about daylight savings time. And no, I, as an intern, had nothing to do with the logistics of why that was still a thing.
Man. Okay, I think we're going to end on that story. That just says how absurd people can be sometimes. Well, Brian, how can they find you on social media?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And our family YouTube channel is Alan's Ever After.
And you can find me pretty much everywhere at Power Dragon, PowerDragn. I'm usually streaming on Twitch on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, 9 p.m. to midnight. And you can find videos almost every day from me on my YouTube channel. Just search Power Dragon. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for this week. So wherever you're listening, whenever you are listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And please take care of yourself as we all kind of try to get back to our best form of normal here. If you have a chance, please check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook at Color of Magic. We're also over on Twitter and Twitch at Color of MTG. And we have a website you can check out, colorofmtg.com. Please share our episode with your friends and help us grow our base. As always, every little bit helps, and we appreciate your support.